We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Hope everybody will be able to make it tonight. We're going to have an outside service. Lord willing, doesn't rain on us too bad. And so that'll be good. Have a lot of activities and it'll be fun. So if you can make it, we'd hopefully see you there. Then 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is where we'll start this morning. I think fall is definitely here. A little warm sometimes, but leaves are starting to change and getting dry. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. I didn't get everything finished. Last week we talked about, it was Roaring Lion Sunday last week, and we talked about the devil. And more specifically, we talked about pride, which was what caused the fall of Satan. And I didn't really get to finish everything, and I thought, well, the Lord just kind of laid on my heart. I wanted to get this finished and share a few more truths with you. But in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, we're going to look at verse number 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. Bible says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, divers kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for this opportunity that you give us to come to your house. Lord, thank you for the faithfulness of your people. And thank you for visitors that we have here this morning. I pray that you'd bless them. Thank you for them making the effort to be here with us. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us as we look in your word. Lord, guide my words. Help me to say only what I ought to. Lord, I want to honor you this morning. I want to give us some thought, give some challenges to the people. Lord, help us to be good at just accepting each other and don't let our pride get in the way of things. And Lord, I thank you for all that you do. Help the services to follow this morning, in Jesus' name, amen. Last week we started in Isaiah chapter 14, and we looked at the fall of Satan. And then I made a few points about pride causes people to go to hell because they don't think they need God. And pride also causes people to go to hell because they think they are God. And we looked at a couple illustrations of Nebuchadnezzar and Herod. And then I also said pride causes contention. Pride causes contention. You know, where you've got two people that are proud, all right, or even one person that's proud, with a differing of opinion, that's where that contention comes from. It's a butting of the heads. And, you know, so we saw that, Proverbs chapter 13, 10, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But today I want to talk about a couple other things, and pride, because we all know that pride causes contention, but it's because pride is an inward problem, okay? So let's go to Mark chapter number 7, and we'll get to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 here in just a moment. Mark chapter number 7, I'm going to show you here. but what Jesus said. Mark chapter 7, verse number 20, and he said, "That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." You know, honestly, if you think about this, this is kind of an obvious common sense thing. But the Bible says everything that it is, it comes from within us. You know, a thief is, you know, somebody that steals something, that's just an outward action of an inward heart problem. Okay? And that's what sin is. Sin is a heart problem. And, you know, any sin that we look at in the Bible is basically just a reflection of what's going on inside someone's heart. Okay? And because of our sin, obviously because of our sin and because of our heart condition, there is a penalty for sin. And that penalty is hell. But it all still comes from, why is there a penalty for disobeying God? All right? But that sin still comes, sin still comes from within. Because of that, many times what we want to do is we feel, and I referenced this last week, and this is where we're going to get into the message, or the lesson this morning, but we want to see the good in ourselves, okay? We're very selfish. All of us, I think, are very selfish people. We always want to look, we kind of look at, well, how am I compared to someone else? All right? And we got to be careful because we say that we sometimes love people, but sometimes we're more accepting of somebody that is way down here on the bottom than we are of somebody that's almost our equal. Okay? And sometimes we see somebody as almost our equal and it's like, well, I don't think that they're really, I think they're fake. Well, they're just because they're your equal. In something, sometimes we, you know, okay, for instance, you know, sometimes it's easier to accept a bus kid, all right, or a young person that rides the bus. You know, you'll accept them because you know the home that they've been brought up in, and you know where they came from, and, you know, you'll accept them for where they're at. But then if there's a core kid, somebody that comes here, their parents come here to church, sometimes we're like, well, you know, they're just not doing what's right. And it's like, well, hang on a second. If we're going to accept this young person over here that's not doing what's right, can't we accept this young person that, I'm not giving them an excuse, does that make sense? But I'm still going to accept them, and just the same way I'm going to try to help this young person grow, I want to help this young person grow, okay? And I'm not going to put down this, well, they just know better. Well, okay. Aren't you glad that God didn't give up on us when we knew better? Okay? And I'm glad that God didn't say, well, you know, listen, this week I've done things that honestly, I knew better. Okay? I don't think any of us probably, you know, very few of us anyway in this room can say, well, I just, at this some point in your life, they're just not, well, I just didn't know. I didn't know that. I didn't know that God didn't want me to do that. All right, most of us in here, you know right from wrong, okay, right? And for God to say, well, yeah, I'm not going to give them another chance because they knew better, all right? Well, I'm glad that God doesn't do that, all right? Proverbs chapter number 26, flip over there. We're going to use our Bibles quite a bit. I want to show you several references. And then I got an illustration I want to show to you. Proverbs chapter 26. I read this the other day in my devotions, and it made me think about this. You say, so what happens? What happens when somebody basically is judging themselves to somebody else? Well, our human nature, this is just human nature, all of us do this, okay? So if you're a human, you do this for the most part, all right? But we look at everyone else and we say, well, they're better at something than what we are. And our natural tendency is to want to look and say, well, how can we bring them down to our level? Not being happy with where they're at. Well, how can, and not even, you know, most of the time, and some people can do this. you look at somebody and say, well, I want to be like that in that area. And that's good. You know what that does? It drives you to be better at something. When I was in school, all right, there was kids that was better at stuff than I was. You know, and you can do two things. You can either try to put those other peers down, or you know what? You can just try to be better at it. All right? And I think that's great. I mean, competition's a good thing. Competition drives you to be things. But you know what our nature also tends to do? You put other people down. And that's a pride thing. That's a pride problem. Proverbs chapter 26, verse number 24. This is interesting. The Bible says, he that hateth dissembleth with his lips and layeth up deceit within him. When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Whose hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. What did the Bible say there? He said, he that hateth, when you start get to the place where you start hating someone, you're going to start, the Bible uses the word dissembleth. It's the opposite of assemble. Okay, when I'm assembling something, when you're assembling something, you're building something, right? Well, dissembling means you're taking it apart and you're picking apart their life. Okay, and we got to be careful about that because this is still a pride issue. Okay, and so that pride comes up and we say, well, you know, that young person, they're just, you know, I don't think they're doing right. And, you know, they may not be doing right. But a lot of times we see ourselves in comparison to them. Matthew chapter 23. Go to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. The Bible is going to talk about the Pharisees here. And Matthew chapter 23, look at verse number 2. Or let's start verse 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and said unto his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. Listen to this, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. You know, I think this would be an awesome place if we could get to this place as Christians where it's not about where am I in comparison to somebody else. It's about, hey, what can I do for you? How can I help you? Okay? All right? You're here. How can I help you to get to here? Okay? I've had people work for me. And, okay, I'm just going to use the illustration. I texted him yesterday. Lucas. All right, he's down at college right now. And I texted him yesterday, and he sounds like he's doing great. He's doing really good. And you know what? We were able to work together he started working for me, I think, when he was 10 or 11. I don't remember. So for 7 years, he worked with me. Okay, and you get to a certain place, and at some point, honestly, folks, you know, I can share with him as much knowledge as I have, but I don't have all knowledge. Does that make sense? And then so for if he was to come back and he knows things I don't know and he can do things I can't do, isn't that what we're supposed to be doing for the next generation? Is we want the next generation to be able to do things that we can't do or we don't know how to do? Not just hands-on, okay? And it would be wrong for me to be like, well, you know, he knows things I don't know, so now I'm going to try to put him down in some areas. No. I want to, hey, if he knows things I don't know, that's great. And I want to try to, listen, and not everyone's going to be the same. Not everyone's going to be the same. All right? There's different, and that's what we went to 1 Corinthians. There's different gifts. And so for me to judge everyone, because I'm a very hands-on person, okay? I do things with my hands. I had Brother Ryan Gamble over. We were talking the other day. And you know what? He's an economist, basically. He deals with the economy. I don't know nothing about the economy. We were talking about it, and he's throwing all these terms out, and I'm just shaking my head and trying to have an intelligent look on my face. I have no clue what he's talking about. Okay, you know, he's talking about projected things and charts, and I don't know what any of that is. But you know what? I'm thankful that he is that, and I'm thankful that he is a Christian, one of those. Given the choice, folks, would you rather have a heathen that is impacting our economy or a Christian that's impacting our economy? Okay? I mean, how many of you would rather go to a, you know, and I'm, they make, you know, God bless them, but how many of you would rather go to a Hindu doctor or a Christian doctor? Because there's a whole different mindset. How many of you would rather have a Christian lawyer or a completely heathen lawyer? Okay? Now, we all want these things, but then it's like, well, I don't know, I mean, you know, they're going and they're getting all this educate. Well, I'm kind of glad that somebody went, and I'm glad for the brother Gibbs back there. That's a Christian man. That, you know what he does? He protects our churches. I'm thankful for the Eric Millers that are Christians. Well, they're a whole lot different than I am, and they may look at we put a transmission in a bus this week. They would look at that and honestly probably have no clue. But that doesn't make me any better than what they are. And for me to have no clue what they're doing doesn't make them better than I am. Okay? It's different gifts. Okay? And we got to accept, you know, that's the part of the family of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we see the picture of the body. And I'm glad, you know, we don't just have hands. I'm glad we have feet too. And I'm glad we don't just have eyes. I'm glad we have ears. I'm glad God's given us all these different senses to make our body function the way it functions. Okay? I'm glad we have parts. You know, the parts that are most important, you don't even see on me. You know, my heart is pretty essential to my well-being. Right? Right? My brain makes me function. My lungs give me oxygen. All right? And those things you don't even see, but they're very, very important. Okay? They're very important. I brought an illustration with me. Maybe. Last night, we butchered a hog last night for the hog roast. And I got thinking this morning, I can use all kinds of illustrations, but I got thinking this morning about it. You know, I have in my toolbox out there, I've probably got 10 to 15, no joke, if you went and counted them, different saws in my toolbox, okay? And he said, well, don't you just need one saw? No. I want one of everything. Because what you don't realize is every one of them does a different job. Okay? Last night, I used basically two knives last night, and I didn't have one of them with me. So I just grabbed some out of my toolbox. but I have a different knife that I use for skinning the hog than I do for cutting the hog up. Okay? In my toolbox, I've got four different knives here this morning. This is just some I just grabbed. This one I carry all the time. All right, kind of a multi-purpose. I could probably skin a hog with this, but it's not My other knife is scalpel sharp. It actually uses scalpel blades. That's the one I use to normally skin stuff. Okay? Yeah, this one would work, but it's not the best. Does that make sense? Okay? And then I got this one. This is my deboning knife. This is one I cut most stuff up with. I've got three of these like this. They've all got different flexes on the blade. The blade flex is different. And it's made so you can go around the bones. You can flex the blade. But you know what? This knife works a lot better than the knife I carry around in my pocket. Okay? But I don't carry this one around in my pocket. Be rather uncomfortable all day. Okay? We don't carry this. But you know what? This one is a carpet knife. Okay? Use it for carpet layers. Use this all the time. And it's different than this one. And they each have this very own purpose. Can you imagine trying to butcher something? Quite honestly, you know, think about that. With a 3/4-inch blade, you're trying to cut meat up with a 3/4. That's, you know, ladies, you know, if you've cut meat up, all right, it would take a lot of cutting to do that with a 3/4-inch blade. Now, it's sharp, razor sharp, but that's not what it's made for, okay? I've got this one. This is just a utility knife, but it's got two blades in it, okay? I can change the blades, and I use this one a lot. I mean, this is kind of, I use this for whatever. Anything I'm doing construction, I use this one a lot. But it's not the same as this one, all right? I cut roofing all the time with this knife. But if I tried cutting roofing with this one, it wouldn't last very long. It's not what it's made for. Well, if this one says, well, he carries this, you know, I'm more important because he carries me all the time. No. It has its place and it has its proper position. But when I'm doing roofing, this is the tool I use, okay? And every blade's different, all right? If you've ever done any roofing, I've got a straight blade, okay? Just like a regular utility knife, and I've got a hook blade. Hook blades are great for cutting shingles. But if you ever try to cut open a bundle of shingles, the plastic, you know, the real simple plastic that you can just rip, you can't cut it with a hook blade. It just tears. You know what you need? The straight blade. Okay? Well, you know what? We seem to understand that in our toolbox. Ladies, you don't have one knife. You know, you don't have just one knife in your kitchen drawer. I couldn't find it. I carry a serrated, it's actually a bread knife. I carry a bread knife in my toolbox all the time, like a actual serrated bread knife. And it is the best tool if I have to trim insulation, like that foam insulation, that great stuff that expands. If you have to trim it, that knife works perfect. But you know that's the only thing I use it for. But it's, you know what? It's got a spot in my toolbox, okay? I've got all kinds of knives. I mean, I've got a machete, all right? It's a big knife. And you know what I use it for? It's sharp, too. I mean, it's very sharp, but I use it to cut weeds out. I don't take my utility knife and try to whack weeds with it. Doesn't work real well. Okay? Well, in the body of Christ, you know what, folks? There's a lot of different people. And you know what? Not everyone has to even look the same. Does that make sense? But we all gotta work together. Wouldn't it be nice if we was all, instead of worrying about who was being used, we were all available to be used. You know what I am? I'm just a tool. But if I go AWOL, you know, there's nothing more frustrating for me than to know I have a tool, but I can't find it. Oh, that's aggravating. Well, I know I put that socket someplace. And you know what? There's only one socket that fits that bolt. And when you lose it, that is frustrating. You know, you're rolling all over the place. You can't find it. And the job stops until you find that socket. okay? There's one. Now, I've got lots of them, so I usually just go find another one. But it stops until I find the right size that can do that job. Okay? I don't think God's as worried sometimes about, we are more worried about, well, this is more flashy than this one. I don't think God really worries about that as much as, you know, okay, maybe this one's not flashy, but you know what? This one is used for carpet, but I can still sharpen my pencil with it. And when I can't find this one, you know, I'll just grab this one. Why? Because it's available. It's ready to be used. All right? And I think as Christians, you know, why are we going, you know, can't we all just be ready to be used and say, well, I'm different. You know, this one's got a white handle and a long blade. All right? This one's long and skinny. This one's short and chunky. All right? It doesn't matter. Whichever one's available. Okay? Whichever one's available. And I think God wants us to be available. All right? When there's things going on at church, I think God wants us to be available. Well, Brother Chad, I don't know how to do that. Okay. But were you willing? You know, I do a lot of projects here at church, and sometimes it's not even... Some people will ask me, or let me just say this. I would rather have somebody ask me, hey, Brother Chad, can I help you with something? Okay. Let me see what... And then if I say, all right, I need this done, I don't really know how to do it. Hey, that's fine. We can do it. But you know what? I'm really thankful they at least asked versus nobody ever asking. Does that make sense? Okay? And I think God just wants us to be, hey, be in your spot. And I'm thankful. Everyone here this morning, you know what? You're in your spot. Like I said, it's very frustrating for me when I know I have a tool that can... I've had several people ask me, Brother Ryan Nez, okay? We were out there and we helped them in Window Rock, Arizona with their church. The night we left, he come to me and he said, hey, brother, he's so funny. He's like, what you got going this next couple weeks? I'm like, well, the week after I came back, I built a pole barn and I had a lot of stuff here at church I had to do. So I told him that. He's like, well... He's like, if it'll work for you, he's like, I'll fly you back out here, and if you could help me for 3-4 days a week. He wanted me to come back and help him with his building more. I said, you know what? I would love to. But the only problem is it would be real hard for me to get all the contents of my truck on an airplane. Okay? And he's like, he didn't understand. He's like, well, I can get you what you need. I was like, no, you don't understand. You can't get me what I need because I don't always know what I need until I need it. You know, Brother Ali's done contractor work. He understands. There's a reason these guys pull trailers with tools in them around, okay? Because you can't just hop on an airplane and, you know, throw a hammer and a pry bar in your bag and hope that does everything. No, because there's always a tool that you know, if I just had this job that's taken me 5 hours could have been done in 20 minutes if I just had this tool. But if you don't have it, okay? And I think God wants us to be available. You know, there's people out here in our community that only some people will be able to reach. I want you to think about that. There's some people, listen, I don't understand how an engineer thinks. They're kind of, if you're an engineer in here, I apologize, but they're kind of different, okay? They're really smart. That's the reason they're an engineer. But, you know, I may not be able to reach him, but a guy like, you know, Jeff Scales, who is an engineer, he can reach him, okay? As long as we're all available. So I think God wants us to be available. We see this in 1 Corinthians, all the different parts of the body. What does God think about pride? All right, let's flip through these real quick. And then I got one more thought and we'll be done. What does God think about pride? Go to Proverbs. Most of these will be in Proverbs. I just pick the ones out of Proverbs. Keep it easy. All right, so when we're looking at each other and we're judging each other based on, you know, how we are compared to everyone else, I don't think God likes that. I don't think God approves of that. The Bible says in Proverbs 6, verse 16, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look," first one on the list, "proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood." Go to Proverbs chapter 15. Verse 25, "The Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but he will establish the border of the widow." Go to 16, chapter 16. Should be right there. Look at verse 5. "Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished." All right, God hates it. It's an abomination. He's going to destroy the house of them. Look at verse number 18, same chapter. Proverbs 16, verse 18. "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." Go to chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21. Look at verse number 4. "A high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin." Is sin. All right, so obviously God doesn't like it. So, Brother Chad, okay, you've talked about the, you know, what sin does, or what pride does. It sends people to hell. It causes contention. It's an inward problem. How do I keep, because it's, I probably struggle, honestly, just being transparent, I probably struggle with pride more than anything else, okay? Because it's very easy to look at, well, you know, look at what you are compared to what, and put somebody's name in there, okay? I struggle with that. I'm just being honest with you. And I shouldn't. One of those things, I know better, but I still do it, okay? What helps us to look at everyone the way God would look at them, I guess. Maybe that's the way we should put it. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Pastor just taught through this on a Wednesday night not too long ago. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse 9. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. The Bible says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Man, that's right, Brother Chad. You know, those people, they're not going to go to heaven. Well, yeah, that's true. They're all sinners, right? That was a big list of sinners, okay? But you know what the next verse says? Look at the next verse. "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." You know what helps keep us humble? Is to remember that where we were saved from, okay, where we were saved from, and where what we could have been, but by the grace of God, I could have been just like those people that I'm looking down at, okay. But by the grace of God, and in some ways, I may have been like that person. I may have lived just like them, but you know what? Bible says, "But ye are washed." It means cleaned, washed, sanctified. That means not just cleaned, but set aside for a specific purpose. Justified. You know what that means? It means it's like it never was there. Just as if I'd never sinned. All right, that's how I remember it. All right, last night I'm putting the... I got these big totes. They're big meat totes. That's actually what they are. I don't remember how many quarts they hold, but in getting ready for this you know, I was butchering that hog last night, and they had dust in them. I mean, they've been sitting for a while. Last time I used them, I had cut turkey over at Brother Nathan's, and I'd put turkey in them, but they had been sitting for a little bit, so they had kind of dust in them, right? And when I do butchering stuff, I try to keep it very clean. I think that's very, very important, just keep everything clean and sanitary. And you would appreciate me keeping it clean and sanitary. And you know what I did? I took those that, you know, at some point, those have all held dead animals in them. All right. Oh, Brother Chad, you know what you do? You wash them. And then you set them aside. Why were they washed and set aside for a specific purpose? Okay. And then you use them and you work with them. Okay. And then you know what you do again? You wash them again. Okay. And it's just like, you know what? I could use them again. It's just like I'd never, just as if it had never had that dead animal in it. Okay. And you know what God does to us? He says, all right. Yeah, I know that you used to be, listen, we used to all be dead in trespasses and sins. But the Bible says we're washed through the blood of Jesus Christ, and we're sanctified, we're set apart for a specific purpose. Okay? This knife was one I used last night. I actually used it this morning. Okay? You know what I did? It's been washed. And now it's ready to be used again. Okay? And you know what? All of us, if you're saved, if you're a child of God, we've all been washed. And it doesn't matter, well, you know, yeah, but I never was that. It doesn't matter. Okay? It doesn't matter because it's just a clean knife. A clean knife is a clean knife, right? You don't know what this knife has done. Nobody in here except for me, short of the hog I killed last night, because I just told you that. Nobody in here knows what this has done except for me. But I've washed it, and I've cleaned it, and I've sanitized it, and it's ready for work again. Okay? And wouldn't that be nice if we were, as Christians, we're abused, and maybe we don't have a good past. But all right, I'm washed. I'm ready to go do whatever God wants me to do. Okay, let's stay available. Let's remember that we're all saved. We're all sinners saved by grace. Okay, and these young people that come in, and even some that you say, well, they're just not doing right, and they should know better. Why don't we give them a measure of grace that God's given us? Okay, and I love those kids that come in, not just the bus kids. I love it when a young person comes that hasn't been here for a while. Okay, I love those young people just as much, if not honestly, if not more sometimes. Okay, and instead of saying, well, they're just not dressed this way, you know, maybe God's got something special for them to do, and they'll be able to reach people that I'll never be able to reach. Okay, let's give each other a measure of grace. Don't let this pride thing well up in our hearts. Well, I'm better than because of. Why? Because you're just a sinner saved by grace too, okay? And I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Let's give each other people a measure of grace. Keep in mind what we were and what we could have been. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Lord, I pray that you would just help us. Help me, God, to accept people. And Lord, it's not that I'm content where I'm at. Lord, I always want to be better, and I'm not content where folks are sometimes in relation to the Bible. But Lord, help me to accept them and help them to grow. And Lord, help my pride to get in the way. And as I interact with people and the people of our community, not to let who I am or what you've done in my life to elevate my mind above where it ought to be. And help me not to think more highly than I ought, as the Bible says. Lord, help us to love each other. Help us accept each other. Help us to see each other as a valuable tool, a valuable part of the body. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.